your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're going to be kind of going in between Acts chapter 5 and another passage, and I'll have you turn there when we get there. I was debating whether I was going to have you turn to it, but I, as I was studying and looking through it, I really think we ought to, so we're going to. But Acts chapter 5 to start off this evening. I'm so thankful that you came out this evening. I'm not just saying that, I really, really am. If obviously we don't want you to get in danger, so if you risk your life, then I wish you would have stayed home, but hopefully you didn't. The roads weren't too bad, I don't think, for most of us. Maybe a spotter here or there. But Acts chapter 5, and I'm excited what the Lord's going to do through tonight, through what he already has done, through just encouraging our hearts, through the song service that we had. But Acts chapter 5, look at verse 17 with me. I'll read a few verses. We'll pray once more, just specifically for the message, and then we'll get right into it. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. Tonight I'm going to bring a message that I entitled, Continuing Through Opposition. Let's go ahead and pray. Dearly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for, again, just, Lord, your goodness. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, the least we could do is seek you with all of our heart. Father, I pray that you would continue to bless, Lord, tonight. Be with all that's going on throughout. Father, I pray that you would put a special blessing on the message. Lord, that you would allow your spirit to speak through me. Lord, that it would be your words, and Father, that it would be your spirit that speaks to hearts. And Father, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit and give me the words that I need to say. I pray that you'd help me to speak clearly, and Lord, that it would be communicated in a way that we could take the truth tonight and just remind ourselves of how you want us to just continue through even when opposition and hardship comes. And Father, what a blessing it is to know how you'll bless on the other side of that if we just stay faithful to you. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone who stands for anything is going to have opposition. It doesn't matter really what you stand for, but if you stand on something, there's going to be somebody else on the other side who wants to say that you're wrong. And so if I'm going to stand on something and either way have somebody against me, I'd rather stand on truth than stand on something that is going to be false. And so if anybody who stands on something is going to have opposition, there is a missionary family that we support in a communist country. I'm going to be very vague with this. You probably know who I'm talking about after I get into it, but just for sake of not knowing what can be said and what can't be said, I'm going to be vague, but you'll get the point. So there is a missionary family that we support who lives in a communist country who had been seeing great results take place in a place where you need to be very careful with who you talk to and what you say to that person about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in this communist country, like most communist countries, talking about religious things or talking about spiritual things that are not sanctioned by the government is a no-no. It's something that you don't do because it's something that could get you thrown in jail. It's something that could get you thrown out of the country and have your name black marked, so to speak, and not allow you to come back in. And so they have to be very careful. And so they were seeing great things happen. They were seeing people saved. They were seeing people added to the church. They were seeing people baptized. And God was just doing a great work. But then they ran into some problems within the past few years. And we talked about a few of those here during some of our Wednesday night services as we were praying for them. But for the last few years, they started to see some hardships come. There was one gentleman specifically who they apparently thought was well enough to be able to be told where they were meeting for church. In a communist country, again, you can't just go and you can't just say to any Joe on the street that we're going to be meeting 10 blocks down here at this particular place, at this particular hour, because you don't know who you're talking to. They could be somebody who is going to go and tell the authorities, and so you got to be very careful. And so they thought that he was good enough to be, I shouldn't say good enough, but that he was able to not tell the authorities and that he was okay. And so they said, come and meet with us. And so I don't know how long he was meeting with them, but he was there, and they knew him. He knew the congregation that was there, and they knew each other pretty well. But apparently somehow he got upset about something. And instead of trying to deal with it, he went and told the authorities that these people were having church down here at this place at this time, and that they need to come and they need to get them. And so with this being said, they did what they could to kind of hide the things that would tie them, I guess, to a pastor type of ministry that they could. And they did. And when the people came, they didn't find anything really at fault with them when they searched their place. But for the meantime, they had to go into hiding. And their father, who's been there for many, many years, the children who are there now, one of those we support, he grew up in China. And so he grew up there. His father has been there for many, many years doing a work there in China. Well, he actually had to kind of get out of China for a short period of time, and he got out just in the nick of time before they got him to question him and things like that. And so for a good number of months, he was not able to get back into the country just for fear of someone taking him into custody, as I believe they had once before. And so his kids then were hiding, and they had to go from place to place throughout the next few months to make sure that nobody really found out where they were. But in the meantime of all that, you would think, well, how are they going to have church? There's no way that they can possibly have church. There's no way that they can still minister for the Lord. And so now they're running and going from place to place. But you know what encouraged my heart? When I found out that they were still doing what they could to have church. And they wouldn't have it in the same place every week. They wouldn't have it at the same time every week. Imagine that. Imagine having to go to a different place at a different time every week, and somehow they had a system where they would funnel it through their members that were already members of the church, and they would meet. And what a blessing it is to see some folks who are in a country where it is very difficult to be open about your religion, to be open about your Christianity, and when opposition comes, they find a way to still do what God wants them to do. First, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. They had church, and they tried to encourage their people. They tried to encourage and edify and build them up in the faith. Through opposition, through hardships. It's hard for us to even imagine, unless we went to a country for a short mission trip or something, it's hard for me to imagine having to go through that because of the country we live in is so free. It seems like it's getting tough, and yes, there are some restrictions coming on our in our nation and some maybe even down the pipeline, but compared to many other countries, that are over in the Asian area, that are over in the Africa area. There are countries that are difficult and are hard and have lots of opposition to even just being a Christian. But we see that through that, God can still do great things. Today, even in our country, as free as ours is, standing on truth is not popular. And so I say that to say this, that there are some things that will be opposition to you. God still wants you to continue. God doesn't want you to stop. God doesn't want our country or the Christians in our country, he doesn't want our church to say, well, this is a roadblock, we can't go any farther. Because if that's all it takes, the devil's going to put a roadblock in our way and he's going to cause us to stop. But if we have the mindset that God wants us, through opposition, to do all we can to proclaim the name of Christ, even when that opposition comes, then we will be more faithful than we would if we had the mindset of, well, that's too hard, I'm going to stop. So I want us to look at four truths tonight. I want us to look at four truths regarding opposition. And it's stuff you probably know, but I'm hoping it'll be a good reminder for us this evening as we look through these two passages this evening. The first truth is that the servant is not greater than the Lord. The servant is not greater than his Lord. And I get that if you think that's from the Bible, it's because it is. And so look at John chapter 15 with me. We'll come back to Acts 5. I want you to look at John chapter 15. And we're going to walk through this passage. And we're going to see what the Lord told his disciples. And then we're going to see what he told them put into action in Acts chapter 5. Which is why I want us to go to both. So John chapter 15, verse 18. Look at it with me. It says here in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against... Sorry, I was in Luke. That's not John. Sorry. I was going to say, that doesn't sound right. You were confused too, weren't you? John chapter 15, verse 18. There we go. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sins. So let's walk through this passage and talk about this. Verse 18, I want us to see something here. It says here in verse 18 of John 15, it says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. That word hate, it's talking about a loving less or a detesting with persecution. And so it's talking about exactly what's happening in Acts chapter 5. What it's talking about is here that these Sadducees that we're going to see here, talk about here in just a minute, they're coming against the apostles. They don't like what they're teaching. And we'll see that here in just a minute of why they didn't like it. But they didn't like what they were teaching. They didn't like the truth that they were giving. And so they hated them. And they hated them to a point of, we're going to persecute you. We see in Acts chapter 4, verse 2, they came against Peter and John, I believe it was, and they put them in prison for a short time, and then the next day they left them out because they didn't really have anything against them. And then we see later in Acts chapter 4, I believe verse 21, and we see that they tried to come against them once again, and yet they get out of it. And then Acts chapter 5, they come against them once again. Why? It's because of what they're preaching. Because they're preaching Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. They're preaching salvation through Christ by faith. And because of that, the opposition is coming. And so they hated them. Jesus said, if they hated me, if they persecuted me, if they nailed me to a cross, they're going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. They're not going to like you because of what you teach. You know, it's not, I hope it's not me. But I hope they don't like me because I look like Christ. I hope it's not that I am a nuisance in my own personality, but I'm hoping it's because if they don't like me, it's because they're against Christ. Not that I want them to be against Christ, but I don't want it to be me that is hindering them from Christ. If they're going to hate Christ, that's their decision, as long as I'm doing everything I can to reflect Christ. And so we see here that Jesus said that they hated me and they're going to hate you. They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. Guess what? We're not greater than the Lord. What is he saying here? He's saying if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. It's pretty simple. If you look like me and you act like me and you live like me and you try to be a holy Christian like I showed you how to live your life, then yes, they're going to persecute you. And we'll see why here in just a minute as we get to the end of John chapter 15. So John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, ye knew that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. That word love is not agape. It's not an unconditional love. It's a phileo love. It's talking about a brotherly love. It's talking about a fond love, an I like you kind of love. The world would like you. They would be fond of you because they would want you to do for them what's best for them. You see, the world doesn't really care about you. The world and its philosophy and its system doesn't really care as long as they can get out of you what they want. We see it time and time again that the world and the people who are living non-Christian lives, they do what they can and they act nice to people as long as they are getting out of them what benefits them. And when they stop getting out of them what benefits them, they say, well, we don't really need you anymore. It's saying here that if you were of the world, they would love you. But because you're not of the world and God called you out of the world, he called you to be different than the world, guess what? You're not greater than your master. You're not greater than the Lord. If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. Because he called you out and you're living a life that is separated from the world. Not isolated, but separated. It says here, verse 19, to read the whole thing, if we were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember that the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Remember, they're doing it because they don't like the name of Christ. They don't like truth. They don't like hearing that they are a sinner, that they need a Savior. They don't like saying that they need to depend on God. It's for his name's sake because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, I was interested in what this was talking about. You see, this is talking about a pretense. It's a way to conceal or to cover that they were sinners. But now that Christ came and clearly showed the world that everyone is a sinner, they are without excuse. They were without excuse anyway, but they were trying to cover it up. They were trying to have a sort of excuse to say, well, I'm not as bad as Brother Joe down here. I'm not as bad as this person down here, so I'm okay. They were trying to live up to the law. They were trying to live up to what God said we needed to, even just the Ten Commandments, which none of us can. But they were trying to do that and get their works to outweigh their sin. They were trying to cover their sin with a cloak. A cloak, talking about a jacket of sort. You know, as you would cover yourself to keep the rain off of you. They kind of hid their sin so that way they didn't see it and that way others didn't see it. But when Christ came into the world, Christ is truth, Christ preached truth, and truth cuts to the heart. Truth goes through and cuts to the very center and shows you for who you really are. And they didn't like it. They had no excuse anymore, as Romans chapter 1 tells us, that all are guilty before God and have no excuse. They persecuted Christ, who is truth and who gave truth. John 1:14 tells us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the Word was, John 1:1, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And he became flesh. The Word was the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17:17 says this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy Word is truth. Jesus Christ is truth, Jesus Christ gave truth. And they didn't like that truth. You know, I don't always like truth. I know it's good for me. But when I first hear it, sometimes it's like, I don't really want to obey that. I know I should. I'm going to with the Lord's help. But if we're honest with ourselves, I don't think any of us would say that we really always like to hear truth because that makes us say, you know what, I was wrong. And as a man, I don't want to say I was wrong. You know, the pride gets in there, and it's hard to say that sometimes. But truth shows us for who we really are. They hated him because they hated the truth, they despised the truth, and they rejected the truth. Now I want us to turn back to Acts chapter 4. Let's see this kind of play out here. I kind of alluded to it, but I want you to see the scripture of it. Acts chapter 4, we'll start with verse 1. It says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Opposition came because they were preaching the word, and God blessed in spite of the opposition that came. 5,000. What a blessing that had to be, to hear that the 5,000 there, they heard the word and they believed. But then we go on and look at me in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. This is right after they talk about Ananias and Sapphira, and they're starting to do some healings again here. So Acts chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison." We see here that they didn't like what they were doing. And what they were doing, yes, they were healing people, but they were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the truth, and they were seeing people saved. They didn't like the truth. They rejected the truth. They despised the truth. That word indignation in verse 17, it's talking about an envious and contentious rivalry. They were jealous. They were jealous that the apostles were doing something. They were jealous and they were envious because they felt like their power and their authority was in jeopardy, just like they did with Jesus. Just like they did when Jesus was preaching and seeing multitudes come. Just like they did when they saw Jesus giving the truth and healing people. They were jealous, they were envious, they were contentious because of the truth. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Number one. Secondly, opposition often comes from those who do not know Christ. It doesn't always, but it often comes from those who do not know Christ. We see here that they were Sadducees. This is kind of where this part's coming in. They were those of the high priest, they were Sadducees, and if they believed what the Sadducees believed, then they did not know Christ. They did not know him as their personal Savior. And I'll tell you here why in a second. The Sadducees came upon the apostles because of their teaching. You see, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the body, angels, or spirits. Acts chapter 23 and verse 8, it says this. And there's other verses, but this is the one I wanted to show you. It says here, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." And so we see here the Sadducees flat out said there's no bodily resurrection. If they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection of anybody, they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no hope. Because the Bible says, I'm a sinner, and if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then that means he's still paying for my sins, because it says, for the wages of sin is death. And so if Jesus is still in the grave, then he is still paying for my sin, or at least I don't know if it's finished or not. The resurrection means a whole heap to a Christian, because it is our hope of eternal life, knowing that Jesus Christ conquered death, conquered the grave, and is victorious over sin. You see, they didn't believe in the bodily resurrection. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Acts 23:8 is a pretty clear description of that as well. A Jewish historian, Josephus, he was around at the latter time after Christ, around the 60 to 70 to 90 kind of time frame AD. That Jewish historian, Josephus, he claimed that they only acknowledged the Old Testament in matters pertaining to faith and morals, as well as they rejected the immortality of the soul and future retribution. That's found in Josephus wrote two books, one about wars and one about the Antiquities. And so this is found in Antiquities, which was written around 94 AD. If only what the Bible said about the Sadducees was true, they didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of the body. They obviously do not have a relationship with God because they deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. My point with that is they weren't saved. They weren't Christians. They weren't those who are one of the apostles, one of the disciples, who followed Christ. Often, opposition comes from those who do not know Christ. There was a man who a couple of our soul winners were talking to during while they were out canvassing our area for Vacation Bible School. And it's in an area that's pretty close to where some of you live. And they were walking, knocking on doors. They weren't having a whole lot of people answer the door in this particular area. But there was a man who was outside. And they went to talk with him, and they went to invite his children to Vacation Bible School, if he had any. He was a little bit too old to come to Vacation Bible School. But as they were starting to go up the driveway, he said, don't worry about it, just move on, I'm not interested. So, from what they told me, they were, okay, well, hope you have a good rest of your day. You know, they were polite, they didn't argue with him or anything like that, and they started walking down the sidewalk. As they got a little bit farther, he said, just so you know, you're not supposed to be soliciting in here. You need a permit to be able to do this. And so I know one of the gentlemen, he said that, well, we're just inviting folks to Vacation Bible School, giving them an invitation to come to our free Vacation Bible School. And he said, I don't care. You're not supposed to be doing that. They said, okay, well, have a good day, sir, and just walked on. My point is, he was probably unsaved. I don't know his heart. Neither do the soul winners. But he was probably unsaved. And when he was confronted with somebody who looked like they had truth, something that he was afraid of hearing, he didn't want it. And he lashed out, at least in a little bit, in saying, you shouldn't even be here. And you know what they could have done? They could have said, you know what, sir, you don't know the definition of solicitation, and I'm going to give it to you right now. And you know what? The flesh sometimes wants to do that. Amen. The flesh sometimes wants to say, do you really understand what that word means? Because if you did, you wouldn't be saying this right now. But he's probably unsaved. And he's probably lashing out, maybe because he had a hard day, maybe because he was just having trouble with his kids, maybe because he just found out somebody in his family has cancer. Who knows? But he needs to know Christ. And if those soul winners would have said, you know what, let me tell you something, sir, the chances of that guy coming to Christ is small. I've heard too many people knocking on doors for buses. Heard too many people say that they were offended by somebody who said they were a Christian. And they want nothing to do with church because of it. You've heard Pastor talk about it. People that he's met who were offended because somebody who called themselves a Christian said something they shouldn't have done or did something they shouldn't have done. And maybe it was in a time of opposition. But they needed to remember the opposition isn't the enemy. And they need to know about Christ. And so it's not about me going after them and getting the authorities after them. It's not about me going and yelling and screaming and making sure they get my point. It's about me loving them so they come to Christ, even through opposition. The missionaries in that communist country, when that man told the authorities, if they would have gotten the flesh, man, they probably would have been so angry, so upset. What are you trying to do? We're trying to do good for you. And we're trying to teach you truth. And we're trying to help you. And you do that to us? Opposition is going to come most often from those who need to know Christ. The Lord, or the servant, is not greater than the Lord. First, we saw the Lord, the servant is not greater than the Lord. Secondly, we saw that oftentimes opposition comes from those who need to know Christ. Thirdly, God hasn't left you alone when opposition comes. When opposition comes, God didn't leave you. Look at verse 19 of Acts 5. We'll start in verse 18. And they laid their hands on the apostles, and they put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, the angel of the Lord was there because God didn't leave them. He knew what they were going through. He knew the opposition that was coming. He knew where they were. And he knew why they were there. Because they were speaking truth. And he said, fellas, you're not going to be here very long. Because I'm going to help you. I'm going to let you go. Now, not every time will God get you out of the opposition. I want to say that. Sometimes he takes you through the opposition, whatever it may be. But sometimes God gets you out of it. My point is, whether he gets you out of it or whether he takes you through it, he's with you. He's going through it with you. The angel of the Lord was right there with them and got them out. If you would turn back to John chapter 15 with me. And look at verse 23. It says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, then had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. My point here with this is not some of the other things he's saying about what the Holy Spirit does, but the point is that he's saying there's going to be persecution. There's going to be hardship because they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But the Comforter is going to come. The one who's going to go through it with you is going to come and abide in you and dwell inside of you, and he will go through it with you. And you will not have to go through it alone. You will not have to go through it powerless. You will not have to go through it without me, but I will be with you when opposition comes. The only reason that we can face opposition as a Christian and do it well is because he's with us, because of his power, because of his help. Because if it wasn't for him, we would get in the flesh, we would ruin it, and things would go terribly. You see, opposition comes, he isn't going to leave you. When hardship comes, he is going to be with you. And if nothing else, the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. And he wants to help you through it. He wants to give you the grace to help you get through. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. They went into the fiery furnace, and God didn't get them out of the situation, but he helped them through the situation. And when they were in that furnace and they came out, they were fine because God was with them. They stood on truth, and God went through the fire and the opposition with them. But we also see not only was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there in Daniel 3, but think about Stephen in Acts 7 when he was preaching and he was teaching, and they came against him and they stoned him and they martyred him. And as the Apostle Paul, who was there, as we see, he's later called, as Saul is there and he's looking at him, he had the face of an angel. And there's other stories of people who were Christians, who were burned on the stake and who had opposition come in their way, and they took it with grace and they took it in a manner that would please the Lord. Why? Because God was with them. There's no other way that they could go through that without cursing and swearing at the people who were doing it, unless God gave him the power and the grace to get through it. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs once. I haven't got through the whole thing. I've read a little bit of it. It's hard. It's hard to get through because of all the things that they talk about. But you know what? Christian after Christian, going to the hardships and the opposition and the trials, getting through it because of God. You've seen people in this congregation go through great opposition and great trials and great hardship, and God saw them through. God is still seeing them through. God hasn't left them. He will never leave them or forsake them, and he won't do that to you either. When hardship and opposition comes, remember, although everybody may forsake you, father and mother may leave you, God never will. He is with you. There was one night where hostile natives on the island of Vanuatu, it's a South Pacific island out there, and there's an island there, and these hostile natives were surrounding the home of Reverend John Patton and his wife, intending to set their house on fire and to kill the missionaries. During those long, terrifying hours, the Pattons prayed for God's protection. But when morning finally came, they were relieved and amazed to find that their would-be attackers had left. God had delivered them. Sometime afterward, the chief of the tribe became a believer in Jesus Christ. Patton asked the chief why his tribe had not burned his house on that evening long ago. The chief responded in surprise, "Who were all those men that you had with you there?" The missionary answered, "There were no men there, just my wife and I." The chief insisted that the missionary's house was surrounded by these men who were great in stature. He said that they were standing guard and that these large men were wearing shiny garments and carrying drawn swords. You see, I'm not saying God is necessarily going to send a force of angels around you to protect you every time, but what I am saying is that God knows what you're going through, God knows where you're at, God knows the opposition and the hardship, and he's with you. And he's going to help you if you want him to. But he will be with you, and he will help you. We need to know that God doesn't want us to have to go through hardships alone. When opposition comes, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Opposition often comes from those who do not know Christ. God hasn't left you alone when that opposition comes. And lastly, God will give you the grace to continue serving Him through opposition. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 5 and we'll finish. We won't turn back again. I want to read this passage for you so you understand what they went through and what the Lord did. But Acts chapter 5, and if you would look at verse 19 with me, it says, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go.'" He had commissioned them once before to go and to preach. He's saying, do the same thing you were doing before. Go. Stand. There we go. Stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. How many of us, unfortunately, my hand's raised, we just got thrown in jail? You know, the Lord got us out of there, but it'd be hard to go early the next morning and preach again in the same area that we just got thrown in prison. It'd be difficult. I'd be toiling with it, to be quite honest. You know, I'd pray that my faith would be where it needs to be to trust in the Lord to help me through that. But they were men who trusted God to see them through. It says that they went and they were to speak. It says in verse 21, and they went and heard, when they heard, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without the doors, without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would go, this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. So now they're thinking, here we go again. They're going to put us in prison again. They got us. Lord, help us through this again. At verse 27, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.'" They didn't like the truth. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus.'" And by the way, I feel like somebody else already talked about this. I'm not going to mention it long, just briefly. They are obeying God rather than men in the preaching of the gospel. Okay? They were preaching the gospel because God told them to, rather than what the Sadducees told them not to. And so that's what they were obeying, God rather than man. But as we move on, it goes on to say, this is verse 25. "Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom ye put in the prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then when the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set before them the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.' Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." The Holy Ghost is with them. "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain in all, as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. True. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They counted it worthy to suffer the opposition because of what Christ did for us. They ceased not to teach and to preach even through opposition. Opposition will come in some form, but God wants us to stay faithful. God wants us to continue with his grace and with his power and with his strength to continue serving him, to continue witnessing to others. You know, some people may not be able to do what they used to depending on what their opposition is, but I know there's some people who had opposition through different means, some opposition through cancer. You know what they did? They told folks about Christ that were in their, while they were getting their chemo. They gave out tracts. They gave out invitations. They still ceased not to teach and to preach Christ, even through their hardship and their trial. Opposition isn't necessarily just a person coming against you, although sometimes it is. Only be my wonderful Savior's grace, that I am at peace and happy in this place. There have been heartache, sickness, and death in my world that I've experienced this year. Only by his grace can I sing and laugh today. He is always listening and answering as I pray. He did not promise that all would be contentment. That is the reason I feel his presence and have no resentment. There should be no bitterness when things go wrong. He should not get blamed for all the times that I am wrong, that I am not strong. Only by his wonderful grace I have the peace within. I am so thankful that he was with me through it all, only by his grace. After many months, the missionary family had talked about it in the beginning, that we're in that communist country. After many months of hiding, since then, souls have been saved and God has blessed. One of the sons who we support even left to go to another city, I believe in the northern part of China, of the communist country. They were having Bible studies in their home until just recently. They had to move to an office facility because they could not hold everybody in their home. The new place, he said, could hold up to 40 people. This past Sunday, they officially started Victory Baptist Church. Opposition came, and they stayed faithful. They trusted God, and they knew that he would see them through. if we know that opposition is going to come and we continue through it by His grace, God has great and tremendous blessings on the other side. As long as we continue to glorify His name. I don't know what the opposition is in your life. Maybe you just came through one. And you're praising the Lord because of what He did in your life through it. Maybe you're about to go in one. And you don't know what's going to happen. Know that He's going to be with you. Know that He's going to help you. And know that He wants you and me to continue through any opposition that comes. Father, we thank You, Lord, for what You've done through the Bible that shows us how we can get through these things. Father, it's only by Your grace. It's only by Your power. It's only by Your strength. It's not by us. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. But it's by Yours. Father, help us. Lord, I pray that You would bless each and every one, Lord, here that's maybe they're going through something. Maybe opposition is at their front door. Lord, help them to know that You're with them. Lord, you haven't left them, You haven't forsaken them. And Lord, may we determine tonight that we will continue through when opposition comes. With all heads bent, eyes closed.